Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, friends, to Visionary Christian Church, Chapter 2 of our Old Testament survey. I have been in the middle of getting set up there, and I almost forgot that I was having a class today. So forgive me for being unprepared, but we will get to it. Today we're going to be going over chapter 2, and we will be discussing the Old Testament. And, you know, hopefully you guys had gotten a good time learning about the books of the law, the prophets, and had a good time. Where's my chapter 2? There you are. Okay, and we are just about there. Okay. Now, today, our objectives are, upon completion of this chapter, you will be able to write the key verse from memory, identify the number of books in the Old Testament, identify the number of books in the New Testament, and explain why it is important to have a systematic plan for reading the Bible. List 4 suggestions for successful Bible reading at the end of the self-test here. Let's go before the Lord. Father God, we come to you now, Lord, as we sit here and study your holy scriptures. Father God, please, we ask you that you give us first the milk and then the meat of the word. And Lord, I ask if this blesses anyone and it touches anyone, Lord, I pray thee, Father, that you set their heart on fire for Lord Jesus Christ. And amen. Now, the key verse is going to be Psalms 119, verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. In the previous chapter, you learned that the Bible is a written word of God. You learned it's divided into 2 major sections called the Old Testament and the New Testament. You learned 4 divisions of the Old Testament books: law, history, poetry, prophecy. You also learned 4 divisions of the New Testament books: gospels, histories, letters, and prophecy. The following chart summarizes what you have learned about the Bible so far. The Bible is God's written word, contains 66 books, and has an Old Testament that contains law, history, poetry, and prophecy, in a New Testament that contains Gospels, history, letters, and prophecy. This chapter contains a summary of each of the 66 books of the Bible, which make up the major divisions of the Old and New Testaments. It provides introduction to the content of the Word. And, you know, folks, it's such an amazing, amazing thing to sit here and teach the Word. And friends, go to freebiblecollege.com, go to the student page, sign up. It's free to sign up. It's free to get the material. Okay, material is college-level classes to learn, first of all, sound biblical doctrine, and to give yourself some tools. And if you want to get a bachelor's degree, then you pay the $420 that is required by Ames Christian University, and you'll have a bachelor's degree in after you get done with all 22 books. And, you know, it's great. It's a great time. It's a great time. Now, this chapter contains a summary of each of the 66 books of the Bible, which make up the major divisions of the Old and New Testaments. It provides an introduction to the content of both testaments. For suggestion, we have the Old Testament books, 39 books, the books of the law. Genesis records the beginning of the universe, man, the Sabbath, which is Saturday, folks, marriage, sin, sacrifice, nations, and government, and key men of God like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Exodus details how Israel became a nation with Moses as their leader, and how Israel was delivered from bondage in Egypt and travels to Mount Sinai, where the law of God is given. And that is, folks, here's a test question. When he was in a mountain up there, what did he give? And he gave the Ten Commandments, which is his law. Leviticus, this book is a manual of worship for Israel. That's how Israel should have, the proper way to worship the Lord. The book was, it provides instruction to the religious leaders and explains how a sinful people can approach the righteous God, our righteous God. It relates to the coming of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Numbers records Israel's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, which was a result of disobedience to God. The title of the book is from two numberings, population census taken during the long journey that they're on right now. Now, Deuteronomy records the final days of Moses' life and reviews the laws given in Exodus. Now, you know, the Lord did not let Moses go into the promised land. Why? Because he questioned the Lord on how he disobeyed the Lord. And the Lord, for his punishment, did not allow him to go into the promised land. Now, books of history are these. Joshua details how the successor of Moses led the people of Israel into the promised land, the land of Canaan. It records military campaigns and divisions of the land among the people. Judges is a book on Israel turned away from God after Joshua's death. The book records the sad story of their repeated sins and the judges of God raised up to deliver them from the enemy's forces. Ruth tells the story of a woman of a Gentile nation of Moab who chose to serve Israel. She became a great-grandmother of David. And who came from David's line is Jesus. Okay? First and Second Samuel, the book centers on three persons. Samuel, who was the last of the judges of Israel, Saul, the first king of Israel, and David, who succeeded Saul as king. Second Samuel, the glorious 40-year reign of King David is recorded in this book. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, when you see the number 3, it means completion. 7 means completion. 40 means completion. Okay? In biblical terms, when you see the number 4, it means the world, like the four horsemen, it means the world. Okay? First, in 2 Kings, 1 Kings tells about Solomon's reign and the kings of the divided kingdom through the reigns of Ahab in north in the north and Jehoshaphat in the south are the subjects of this book. Second Kings, the final decline of Israel and Judah, is recalled in this book. God's people fell into deep sin. They were worshiping idols, and when you read that book, you understand God's wrath. And it is no joke to mess with the living God or fall into the hands of the living God. First and Second Chronicles, the reign of David and preparations for building the temple are recorded here. The time of this book was the same as Second Samuel. Second Chronicles, this book continues Israel history through Solomon's reign with the focus on the southern kingdom. It closes with the decree of Cyrus, which permitted the return of the people from Babylon to Jerusalem. The return of the Jews from Babylon's Babylonian captivity is detailed in the book of Ezra. Nehemiah, the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls under the direction of Nehemiah, is recalled by this book. The project was begun 14 years after Ezra's return with the people. Now, Esther, God's deliverance of the Jews through Esther and Mordecai, is the subject of this book. And that is an awesome, awesome book. You know, when you want to read a story about the Lord's, you know, he's quite humorous, actually, if you read some of the stories. And plus, it's quite choleric, which means he flies off the handle pretty quick, but in the righteous way, not like us. The books of poetry, Job. The book of Job, of course, is a man who lived around the time of Abraham. The theme is the question of why righteous men suffer. Why do righteous men suffer? And folks, I was told by a pastor of mine, Pastor Dwight Powell, I asked him, I said, well, why all the suffering, you know? And he told me like this. He goes, those with the deepest devotion suffer the greatest darkness, or the deepest darkness. And I found that in my life to be very true. Divine wisdom, Psalms is the prayer and praise book of the Bible. Proverbs, divine wisdom for practical problems of everyday living. In that book of Proverbs, the way you should raise your children, by those standards right there, because that's the handbook for parents for just about everything. And I really, really recommend you read that. If you have some children or are starting to go wayward, that it would be the place to look. Ecclesiastes, a discussion of the futility of life apart from God. Solomon, Song of Solomon, the romance of Solomon and his Shulamite bride. The story represents God's love for Israel and Christ for the church. The books of prophecy. There are several books written during a period when the nation of Israel was divided into two separate kingdoms, Israel and Judah. Isaiah warns of coming judgment against Judah because of their sin against God. Jeremiah is the book written during the later decline and the fall of Judah, and told of the coming judgment and urged surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. Lamentations, Jeremiah's lament. And Jeremiah was considered the weeping prophet. Expression of sorrow is this book over the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon. Ezekiel warned first of Jerusalem's impending fall and then foretells its future restoration. Daniel, the prophet Daniel, was captured during the early stage siege of Judah and taken to Babylon. This book provides historic and prophetic teaching. Keyword, folks, prophetic teaching, which is important to understanding biblical prophecy. And if you, once you get into biblical prophecy, then you can study eschatology and the end times, and it's really fun doing that too. Hosea, the theme of this book is Israel's unfaithfulness, their punishment, and restoration by God. Joel tells us the plagues which foreshadow future judgment. Amos, during a period of material prosperity but moral decay, Amos warned Israel and the surrounding nations of God's future judgment for their sin. Now, you know what? And if you look at these stories here, it's like today. And the Bible teaches, like this, so it is, like the sun, the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And these people were stiff-necked, and they were instructed in the Lord, but they left the Lord. And just like our country, when we had our, you know, our country was founded on the Ten Commandments, but we had church every Sunday in Congress, every Sunday. But now our country's too big. Now we don't need God. We don't need his protection. We don't need anything. And we're a country just seething with wickedness and sin and God's judgments on this country. I believe that. During a period of material property decay, Obadiah, God's judgment against Edom, the evil nation located south of the Dead Sea. Jonah, the story of the prophet Jonah, who preached repentance in Nineveh, capital of the Assyrian Empire, the book reveals God's love and plan of repentance for the Gentiles. Yeah, and also shows you what happens if you don't do what the Lord tells you to do, because Jonah didn't want to do it. So he got swallowed up by a fish. And people said, well, how can that be true? Well, folks, if God could speak this universe into existence, you do the math. Another prophecy against Micah is another prophecy against Israel's sin. Foretells the birthplace of Jesus 700 years before the event happened. There's that number 7 again, folks. And Nahum tells of the impending destruction of Nineveh, which had been spared some 150 years earlier through Jonah's preaching. You know, and if you notice, it kind of looks like revival and then falling away and revival and falling away and revival and falling away. Habakkuk reveals God's plan to punish a sinful nation. Listen, punish a sinful nation by an even more sinful one. Teaches that the just shall live by faith. That's Habakkuk. And did you know in Habakkuk it says that you can't find a one good woman out of a thousand? So if you have a good woman, you better bless that and thank the Lord, because they're very rare. Zephaniah, judgment and restoration of Judah. Haggai urges the Jews to rebuild the temple after a 15-year delay due to enemy resistance. Zechariah further teaches, urging to complete the temple and renew spiritual commitment, foretells his Jesus' first and second coming. Malachi warns against spiritual shallowness and foretells the coming of John the Baptist and Jesus. I just dropped my phone. Okay, now, the New Testament books, there are 27 books in the New Testament. And there are, need to make sure my recording's coming out okay. I may have to bring it in a little closer here. Okay, we're good. There are 4 books known as the Gospels. Record, which means the good news. Record the birth, life, ministry, teachings, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew emphasizes Jesus Christ as King and was directed especially to the Jews. Mark emphasizes Jesus Christ as a servant of God and was directed especially to the Romans. And Luke represents Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the perfect man, and the Savior of men. And John presents Jesus in his position as the Son of God. Book of history is Acts. The one history book of the New Testament records the early growth of Christianity from the time of Christ's return to heaven through Paul's imprisonment in Rome. The book covers about 33 years and emphasizes the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, We have the Romans letters. These are the letters or epistles. Romans, a presentation of the gospel which stresses salvation by faith alone. 1 and 2 Corinthians was written to correct errors of Christian conduct in the local church. 2 Corinthians speaks of the true ministry of the gospel, stewardship, and apostolic authority. Galatians deals with the error of mixing law and faith. The theme is justified by faith alone. Ephesians encourages believers regarding their position in Jesus Christ. Philippians emphasizes the joy of Christian unity. Colossians deals with the error of Gnosticism, Gnostic, and false teachings which deny Jesus was truly the Son of Man. The book also emphasizes as Jesus is the head of the church. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, councils, and Christian living, and emphasis on the return of Jesus. 2 Thessalonians further instruct on the Lord's return and how knowledge of this should affect everyday life. Now, here's this important one, folks. 1 Timothy stresses sound doctrine, orderly church government, and principalities to guide the church in the years to come. 2 Timothy describes the true servant of Jesus Christ. It also warns of the apostasy, spiritual decline, which has already started. And folks, it is just rampant today. Why? Because nobody has any spine left to stand. All that they can stand is stand by the word of God. You know, we're such in this country, such a spoiled people. You know, and we take God's grace in vain, but you have to make your stand. Because if you ever stand before the great white throne of Jesus, it's too late. Now, it warns about apostasy of 2 Timothy and presents the word of God, the remedy, the RX pill, to correct all error. Titus, Paul's letter to a young minister named Titus who was serving God on the island of Crete. Doctrine and godly life are extremely stressed. Philemon, Paul's intercession for a runaway slave of a wealthy Colossian Christian, it illustrates the intercession of Jesus Christ on behalf of the believers who were once slaves to sin. Hebrews explains the superiority of Christianity over Judaism, presents Jesus as the great high priest and the mediator between God and man. James teaches the true faith is evidenced by works, although salvation is by faith alone. 1 and 2 Peter, 1 Peter is a letter of comfort and encouragement to believers, especially those suffering spiritual attacks from outside the church through unbelievers. Warns against spiritual attacks from within. Example, false teachers who had already crept into the church. 1 and 2 John, 1 John written to combat agnosticism, which denies Christ's position as of God's Son and Son of Man. The book emphasizes fellowship and love among believers and assures true believers of eternal life. 2 John warns against any compromise with doctrinal error and emphasizes that the truth must be guarded in love. 3 John warns of sin, of refusing fellowship with those who are true believers. And Jude is another warning against apostasy and false doctrine. The theme is similar to that of 2 Peter. Revelation. The prophetic book tells the final events of world history. It tells of things which are, which will be, and what is to come in the future plan of God. Successful Bible reading. You will learn much in this course about how to understand and interpret the Bible. You will also learn methods of creative Bible study. But the first step in understanding the Bible is to begin to read it. You hear me, folks? You got to read your word. You cannot be washed by the word if you don't read it. To help you start reading God's Word, we have outlined several different reading plans. These include plan for those just starting their study, as well as a plan of those who are more advanced in the study of God's Word. First, here are four suggestions for successful Bible reading. Read daily, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. That's Psalms 1:2. And folks, we use the King James in this study here. God made your physical body, so you must have food daily in order to remain healthy. In a similar manner, your spirit must be fed daily with the food of God's Word if you're to be spiritually healthy. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Luke 4:4. Read selectively. Start beginning reading the milk of the Word, the simple truths of God's Word. As newborn babes, desire sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. That's 1 Peter 2:2. Later you will mature spiritually to where you can eat meat of the Word of God. This means that you will be able to understand more difficult things of the Bible. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's Hebrews 5:13 and 14. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For here thereto ye were not able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 3:2. Read prayerfully. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Ezra 7:10. Before you start to read, pray and go ask God to help him. Ask him to help you understand the message that he has given you through his written word. Let your prayer be as the psalmist David prayed, O thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things of thy law. Psalms 119, verse 18. Read systematically. Some people don't understand God's word because they don't have a systematic reading plan. They read a chapter here and there and fail to understand how it fits together. This is like reading a few pages here and there in a textbook on medicine and trying to set up a medical practice. It ain't going to happen. The Bible tells us to search the scriptures, John 5:39. This means to study them carefully. The Bible is like a textbook used in school. You must read it in an orderly way if you are to understand its contents. Select one of the following reading schedules and begin reading. Start in chapter 1 of the book of John. And folks, our show has come to the concluding. Tune in next Friday, and we'll have chapter 3 of the Old Testament survey. And during the middle, I think Wednesday, I'm going to do a show on the Sinner's Prayer. So tune in. It's very controversial. So tune in, and God bless you. And if any of you want to give your hearts to Jesus, now's the time to do it. You know, confess Jesus as your Lord, and it says that you'll have everlasting life. And ask him to come into your heart and repent and be baptized and follow the Lord. You know, don't make it lip service. Just do it. And I thank you for tuning in, and Lord, bless these people that are listening. And Father God, minister to their needs and their wants and their hurts and the things seen and unseen, Father God, and bless them all. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. See you next Friday.